Name of the triune God. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In continuing our services, these opisto services, I thought to read from this Holy Bible, the Word of God, from the Gospel of Matthew, from the 13th chapter, verses 24-30. And continuing with this prayer, that the Heavenly Father would open His Word, the amount of this portion of the text. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We are all the children of God are sowers of the Lord. We have been able to gather to the Ranua Opisto services to do this duty of sowing. Dear hearer of the word here in the service tent, in the service area, and wherever you are listening to this speech, we know and we believe so that listening on the radio or internet, wherever you are, where dear brothers and sisters, remember you too are sowers. We sow and we want to sow the seed of God's Word into the hearts, into the soil of different people's hearts. We are sowers. But God is the one who gives the increase. The sowing of God's word, or the in this Holy Bible, and even in this Gospel of Matthew, which is called the Gospel of Parables, there is another parable of the sower. We remember how the sower went and sowed into different types of soil of the heart, and there were different results from this. In this 13th chapter of Matthew are other parables. There are seven parables in all. And this is a chapter of parables. And all of these parables are told by the Lord Jesus, Son of God. One central goal is to enlighten the word kingdom of God, and what kind is the kingdom of God, and it is in our midst, and all these signs of the kingdom of God are characteristics. And when we pause around the temporal deed of sowing the word, or of sowing, there are little boys and girls and young believers. I don't know about today, but my childhood, many boys and girls had their own gardens, which was prepared right away in the spring and the beginning of the summer, and planted carrots and peas and radishes and so on, many types. And I remember when my own mother endeavored in the garden a lot, this sowing, we made different furrows in the earth, and then we put seed into these, what we wanted to grow there. And we looked at what was a fitting crop for our northern climes, and we put carrots grow well, and peas, and so on. We also had another type of a garden, and there we planted small spruce seedlings. And we let them grow a few years. And then maybe 2 years or 3 years, and then they became big seedlings, and we took them from the earth, and then we planted them with a hoe in different terrain, away from the fields. And it was nice to see how the carrots and the seedlings grew well. It was nice to see and experience. And then from my own childhood, I remember when older men in the spring, when they went into the fields, they had this sower's apron on in front of them. When you see it's a container that holds the seeds. When you see it today and throw the seed into the field from that, it comes to mind when I see these nowadays. Our dear brother Arvi Hintsala showed on a picture of one publication of sowing the seed in the field. In my childhood, when older men planted or sowed the seed into the field, people believed better than today that they crossed their hands and prayed that God would bless their sowing. I have heard even nowadays that someone might ask the priest of the congregation or some worker of the congregation to come and keep a blessing of the sowing at our farm. And the understanding was this, that this planted seed in the field will grow, if once grow into a crop. And this is that was understood that this is the great work of the Lord, or of the Creator. And these older people who serve, sow seed with the, and then in the fall it was harvested away, and they also thanked the Lord that He'd blessed the crops. And many times the crops came well, but they were also satisfied. For example, if there is trust, even if the crops were poor, that God nevertheless will protect His created man or people, that He would give His blessing to this life. And we sang in this hymn, if there isn't the blessing of the Lord given to our work, it's a vain endeavor. In this portion which we read from the Matthew of Gospel, this parable, it speaks of this sowing, of this spiritual sowing. It was such a situation. It was a service occasion. It was a special situation when the Lord of Life, the Son of God, that around Him had gathered a great throng of people. And just think, children, that Jesus, He had to go into a boat, and He sat in the boat, and the people were on the shore. If you consider a field that was along the shore, and there's a group of people there listening. I have understood that along the water, and you boys and girls know when you sit in the water, there are cabins on the shore of the lake. Don't speak about those matters very loudly, which you want, because over the water things are, people can hear well, and you don't want to say something that you don't want others to hear. This Lord of Life, the Son of God, sat in this boat, and the throng of people lived to listen to His speech. And when they knew He was coming to some locality, people went there to listen to Him. And in this case too, there was a group listening, and He spoke to them a long parable. And then we could ask that Why doesn't the Lord of life, the Son of God, our Redeemer, why did he want to speak in parables? You children of God, to you is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven as to what this kingdom is, being in the kingdom. But those that were no longer, or still weren't the children, a child of God, they heard through these parables. What do these parables speak of? They were many times easy to understand. They were easier to understand many times. If some of us shows us a parable of a difficult matter and wants to explain it through a parable, it is many times much easier to understand through the parable. In our parable, there was a man who sowed good seed into the field with the hope that this good seed would grow well and maybe get many times or a hundredfold more increase. But when everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and then went his way. Have you, dear travel friends, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, the parents of children, when in your weakness have sowed the seed of God's word in the home, in the secure atmosphere of the home, when you into the children's, the soil of the heart of the children and the youth, you have wanted to sow the seed, it could be that someone else was there sowing also such a seed that you know that there is some other thing, seed sown. The kingdom of God has always been a time of sowing. In the kingdom of God, we want to sow the seed of God's word in the soil of people's hearts. And here at these Opisto services, that have been arranged and called together to listen to this simple program, what the Heavenly Father wants through his poor servants, how the Heavenly Father wants to sow the good seed through his servants into the soil of the hearts. Many times we, mothers and fathers, when we, with our children and youth, it could be that we tire, we are exhausted on the endeavor of this sowing. Maybe we almost as we sleep. And in this parable, it says when everybody was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares in with the wheat, among the wheat, and we know that this wheat is this good grain, is this good harvest, but these tares are this bad seed or bad harvest, and we think of this temporal harvest. I remember in the childhood gardens, we had to weed out the weeds that they would not choke out the good or the plants. But when everybody slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. This bad seed into the field, into the same field, and then he went his way. When the grain began to grow, the work of the enemy was shown, became prevalent then. And so it is in the heart of soil of the heart. If the enemy of the soul was able to sow bad seed into the soil of the heart, it is seen then when it becomes a stalk or a plant. And when the grain grew in but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And then this is called also the text of love. The most the significant part of this text, which we read, and which we hope we can humbly ask the Heavenly Father to give us understanding to it. This sentence. Do you want that we would go and tear up this weed? No, he said, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. This is the great message of love through this parable. To the children of God, to the servants of the Word. And when we so often feel our own weakness and our own corruption in this duty, the kingdom of God and those who live in the kingdom of God and is compared to a net. And it says that there were all kinds of fish in the net. There was also rotten fish. When we think of this work of sowing, which we, in our own own place of watching, in our own, when we do this sowing, we many times feel our own weakness and our own corruptedness and our own poorness. And we feel that we are unacceptable sowers of the word. From this spring, I have a very touching experience. A certain dear one who is not a child of God, who is not believing, came with his spouse and asked to go to the old folks' home to meet. As a poor sower, as a worker of God's kingdom, I went there. From the petition of this close one, I understood that it was time to speak about the most important matter in a man's life. in man's life. I went to this room, to this old person, and I prayed for power and skills and understanding, that I would know how in the right way to call him into God's kingdom. Dear, just think, dear brother, travel friends, I was over an hour with him. He knew me well, and we discussed of many, many old matters. But I thought, I have now time to present this call into God's kingdom. But the Heavenly Father closed my mouth. I was unable to open my mouth, even though I would have wanted to. I thought, when I left there, I felt very bad. Why didn't I speak? But then I decided that I would go soon, in a few days. But do you know, dear ones, that the next day he changed from this time onto the other side of the border of time? Oh, how I felt bad. How unsuccessful I was as a sower. And I felt this way for many days. But then I thought that I believe in God's word work. We cannot, as man, to another, give a faith to another person. And we cannot change our faith. It is the work of God. We know that there are many of these mothers and fathers in the hearing of the word, and also grandparents who sow the word and feel very unacceptable in rearing children. And I know that many fathers and mothers would have wanted to give and to give the gift of faith to those who have lost this gift of faith, which is so easy to lose. It's important that in God's kingdom that we would pray for the blessing of the sower. It's important that we would watch in faith. And when we do this work of this upsowing to our dear ones, that we would endeavor to go to the hearing of God's word, where the voice of the good shepherd is heard, where the as we have heard at these services. And in the care of this grace, care of this shepherd, we are in very good care, and we feel farewell. And to you youth, when I have many times discussed with you youth, dear youth, be gracious to one another in God's kingdom. You don't always have to be successful and perfect. You can be halting and lacking, But when humble and obedient, as a humble and obedient child of God, you believe that the Heavenly Father will bless my life. The Heavenly Father will guide. And the Heavenly Father will, through the power of the gospel, I too can walk on this journey of faith, not by my own power, but by the power of the Lord through the gospel. Speak of the way and the journey. Speak of those things which exhaust and trouble us. Do not give up your faith. Put sin away. Put away the burden of sin. One cannot travel under the burden of sin. Don't think of this, that there is not a fitting time that I can bring my more difficult matters out. But in God's kingdom, there are mothers and fathers and escorts to whom you can speak of those secrets of your conscience. But when the seed of God's word, and we have the gift of God's faith of God in our hearts, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of graciousness. And here we are understood, and here we can have our sins forgiven. And we live with in the midst of this grace. And we travel day by day towards the goal of heaven. At the end, it says, then shall the right, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. It is the eternal fire. It is eternity before the perdition before them, but the wheat will be gathered into the barns. But then God's own, when you have been faithful in little, and even so with little power, but just so that the sign of the child of God is in your heart. And when you are faithful in little, you will once reap a lot. When the blessed of the Lord are called, they will be given much. And you will be able to own this rich treasure. So we have, as believers, good out in front in our future, the glory of heaven. The Bible doesn't speak much of heaven, but we have formed this kind of understanding of it, this, that everything is perfect there. There is nothing lacking there. God's children have a happy ending. After this journey, we as children of God, when we can close our eyes to this earth, we will have a perfect place when we are at the destination. It is a joyous day. At the end, I want to remind you of another happening. It is a different happening. My dear one became very ill. From May or March on, the sickness progressed, and she became weaker and poorer each day. and I had to go and see them many times, or this person. And I had to go through this school of life. This person was satisfied when there was faith in the heart, even with the sickness. And day by day, I saw when God prepared for this person for the day of departure. This person spoke to me. God has promised that at the end of faith is the glory of heaven, and this person rejoiced of this and was satisfied in the will of God. He wanted to sing hymns of Zion. And then on Pentecost evening, I went to see this person in the hospital, and at the bedside, I had a very memorable time of my moment there to keep with this person, of learning about life myself. And this person spoke at this moment, or asked, and we were able to together share this. At that moment, this person asked, as we heard in this hymn, that they wanted to hear that hymn, Ratkidaivasa, which we have used to sing much. She asked, or he asked, that when these songs and hymns are so dear, if we could listen to this hymn 618, which is Ratkitaivasa, there is rejoicing forever. And we sang this together, this hymn, and we sang it together. This verse of the joy of heaven, the rejoicing of heaven, we cannot imagine. All words are poor or lacking to tell of heaven. This joy and rejoicing, this celebration of joy and rejoicing. She lifted her hands towards the roof of the ceiling of the room, and I thought that she was seeing the destination. I am still on the journey and on this way. And we, even though as children of God, we can imagine when we are at the destination, this joy and rejoicing, this, and for this we are on the journey towards this, but we won't get there through our own power. But every day and every moment, we need the gospel, the power of the gospel on our journey. And even this evening, dear travel friend, brother and sister, in the tent here at the Opisto services, or wherever you are listening on the internet or radio, a dear travel friend, the gospel of God is the power of God to all believers to salvation. And now at this blessed moment, you are encouraged to believe, to lift up your hearts and believe. Sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. All unto the joy of heaven and peace, freedom, and joy. In Jesus' name and blood, dear travel friends, believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes it unto salvation. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven unto peace, freedom, and joy. And you, dear travel friend, who feel that you have not owned, you do not own this gift, emboldened to believe your sins forgiven, the sin of unbelief, which is the mother of all sin, and come in through this gospel to the kingdom of God, which isn't food or drink, but is peace, or is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this kingdom is in our midst. In this kingdom, when we partake of it, we can securely endeavoring on this journey. And believe you, little boys and girls and youth, all your sins forgiven and doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Dear travel friend, after many doubts and temptations, fearing and in my own feelings of poorness as a servant before you, I would embolden to ask that, can I believe the gospel of this same kingdom of God? I want to believe together with you, remain believing. In Jesus' name, amen.